Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated August 8, 2016. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Festival Goers Find Much to Discover. Celebration showcased variety of activities for all ages. This is an article by Chris Lisvardi, Herald and Review staff writer from Decatur. John Claiborne came away Sunday impressed by what he had seen of Decatur Celebration. Claiborne lives in Springfield but hadn't been to Decatur for the festival until working with his wife, Lacey, to bring animals from Wild Times Exotics to the kids' block. He said it ended up being the perfect place to be for their growing business. "We've been trying to get on the list for it for the last year," Claiborne said. "I knew it was a big event, but I'm completely blown away by this. The kids' section alone is the biggest we've been to. I can't wait for next year." "Visitors can interact with the animals, but none is dangerous," Lacey Claiborne said. The collection included lemurs, fennec foxes, little snakes, cockroaches, tortoises, and more, she said. "They go to events ranging from festivals such as the Decatur Celebration to birthday parties," Lacey Claiborne said. "One of the best parts is seeing others overcome their fears," John Claiborne said. "They touch something they might have been afraid of initially," he said. "They see it's not so bad." As the 2016 edition of the celebration was drawing to a close, the mixture of experiences for attendees of all ages shined throughout downtown Decatur. Decatur musician Zach Garrett saw the differences as he prepared to play sets for various audiences, ranging from children with the awesome squad at the Kids Block to jazz and fusion Saturday night with Michael Scherer. After wrapping up at the Kids Block, Garrett was on his way Sunday afternoon to perform with the Hitmen, hoping to grab some Thai chicken along the way. "The variety is all over the place," Garrett said. "It's showing off the diversity of the city. Providing something to interest as many people as possible is the primary job of the event manager," celebration producer Lori Sturgill said. "The weekend ended up being successful," she said, "primarily as the weather cooperated with plenty of sunshine and cooler temperatures than earlier in the week, with humidity taking a welcome break." "The weather makes all the difference in the world," Sturgill said. Visitors could relax and enjoy being outside with a wine garden set up on part of Merchant Street, proving to be a popular destination for adults. Celebration organizers partnered with the Illinois Grape Growers and Vintners Association to bring six local vendors to showcase their products. "We're really starting to get into festivals," said Bill Nyberg, who helped start the Nyberg Family Winery at 301 South Main Street in Findlay. "Further renovations are being made to the building as the business steadily expands," Nyberg said. "The business serves a selection of Bishop Creek wines, which he said were being highlighted during the celebration. We have a lot to offer," he said. "We have a lot of fun with it." The local wineries, which included West of Wise Winery from Petersburg, Sleepy Creek Vineyards from Fairmount, White Oaks Vineyards from Carlock, Kite Hill Vineyards from Carbondale, and Alto Vineyards from Champaign, seemed to create a lot of interest in the wine sampling area after celebration attendees had asked about it in previous years, said Mary Hendrickson, chairwoman for the wine garden. "They've been more than happy to see local wineries here," Hendrickson said. "A lot are buying bottles to bring home." A bags tournament organized by the Decatur Park District took part Sunday afternoon, bridging the gap between carnival rides in the Decatur Civic Center parking lot and vendors on North Franklin Street. The double elimination tournament had high participation with 24 two-person teams taking part, said Rachel Bishop, recreation supervisor for the Park District. Payouts for both the recreational and competitive divisions were enough to at least earn a decent amount of spending money for celebration, she said. The tournament was something for those participating to enjoy, along with others to sit and watch with picnic tables set up in a shady area, Bishop said. They're all having a good time, Bishop said. Crowds picked up for the performances during the evening before crews prepared for the process of cleaning up from the event. Sturgill anticipated having garbage picked up and streets cleared to reopen by 3 or 4 a.m. today. As this year's event concluded, Sturgill was already turning her attention to planning for next year. She said to keep an eye out for updates. Sturgill said fundraising efforts, especially from the Celebration King and Queen campaign, raising about $60,000, help bring new things to Decatur every year, keeping Celebration the highly anticipated event it has become for the city. Photographs accompanying the article first shows a singer, and the caption is, "The crowds came out for Morris Day and the Times as Decatur Celebration partied Sunday night on the third and final day of the 31st event." And then two ladies in fun pink cowboy hats, Carla Ferris Knowles and Judy Ferris Edwards, share some information and hats during their trip to the Decatur Celebration. And then a little girl on a carnival ride with a wonderful face paint job shows Naima Thomas finds the mini scrambler ride exciting. And a photograph showing absolutely packed, crowded streets captioned, "The crowds built through the day, with the largest arriving for Morris Day and the Time in early evening." And finally, a little boy with a bubble machine, Sebastian Massey, fills the streets with bubbles after purchasing his toy from a vendor. An additional article about the Decatur Celebration by Tim Kane. Command Center is Celebration's heartbeat. Walking to the Decatur Celebration grounds Friday, as setup is in process, the gates for entry are always places with the potential for disaster. Even with veteran volunteers working the gates and veteran vendors and artisans working their way into the grounds, there's not only a potential but a probability of some kind of issue. This year, I saw a vendor who appeared to be working with a new rig. He was struggling to compensate for the unfamiliar size of his vehicle. I continued my walk toward the Celebration Command Center located in the Decatur Civic Center. News sometimes is generated from the room. In the event of weather interruption, if you're in the business of needing to communicate with people what's going to happen or not happen next, you need to be in the room or in contact with the room. But more often than not, problems are solved in that room. Celebration volunteers communicate extensively via radio, especially during setup. And a call came over the radio. "We've had an accident at one of the gates." I thought I know exactly what happened there. But because I am a veteran of sitting to the side and observing the room, what happened next was exactly what I expected. A couple of volunteers set to work taking care of the situation as best as they could. In 10 minutes, it was time for the next crisis. In my 15 times covering Celebration and checking out the situation in the command center, I've never seen voices raised. I've rarely seen anything that even ends in a tense discussion. People know the pecking order, and if commands come from specific places, they won't be countermanded, even by people who might think they know better, and at times might actually know better. There are smirks and headshakes and eye rolls every once in a while, sure. But do you know where else I see those reactions? Anywhere people work together. And with Celebration, the feeling seems to last as long as it takes to make the face. Then there's another problem to be solved. The ultimate goal of any work situation, and this particularly applies to Decatur Celebration, is to get from one emergency to the next in as calm and peaceful a fashion as possible, with limited psychic, physical, and financial damage. Indeed, spending a few minutes in the command center on Friday afternoon is a treat. Not everything is in place, but it's getting there. And there's a fascinating ballet of veteran volunteers who know exactly what they're doing. Newcomers afraid to do much of anything lest they do something wrong. And they almost invariably will, and it's almost immediately forgotten. People with business on the grounds come in confused, lost, and sometimes a little angry, but almost always walk out with answers to their questions and the knowledge that the show must and will go on. Seeing several people balance several different problems several different times is inspiring, and it wouldn't be surprising to learn those volunteers take the benefits of problem solving in a timely fashion off to their everyday jobs the rest of the year. It's for those people, the volunteers in the command center and the volunteers on the grounds, that Decatur Celebration is not the same as it is for most of us. Those volunteers don't get to see stage acts as much as they might wish. They're not even really aware of how well things are going on the grounds, or the opposite, because they're putting out fires that keep popping up. One of the saddest stories from the reign of Celebration founder Fred Puglia was his inability to get into the crowd to see the village people perform YMCA, one of the few things he really wanted to be able to see when he was producer. He was busy doing something else. But a more entertaining memory is from 2003. A storm ripped through the grounds on a Saturday afternoon. There are still people who believe a tornado came through. Weather experts say otherwise. Amid reports of disaster, vendors saw items destroyed by the weather and money literally washing down drains, and heroism, rescuing vital electronic equipment, including the throwing of a power switch by an unknown man who saved more than anyone can imagine. Puglia manned phones, radio, and succeeded in keeping afloat an event under attack from Mother Nature. He also made a couple of ventures to the grounds to see what could and could not be rescued or reestablished. The next day, a visitor pointed to rain gear hanging on the wall at the command center. "Why didn't you use that?" Puglia was asked. "I had other things I was doing," he responded with a laugh, "because that's what's supposed to happen in the command center." And more news about the celebration. By Tim Kane and Donette Becker, staff writers for the Herald and Review, Celebration producer notes favorite moment. Festival goers regularly give their evaluations of Decatur Celebration, but what does the boss think? Lori Sturgill is overseeing her sixth celebration and also worked the event as an intern and side-by-side with founder Fred Puglia in his final year. "Sturgill's favorite moment came when I was an intern. That was what made me know I wanted to plan festivals." In 1998, when Taylor Dane canceled, that was before email, so there was a big tizzy to get the information out about the change. So there were a lot of phone calls and a lot of faxes to let people know that we had Rick Springfield to replace her. People were so excited about Rick Springfield coming, Fred took me back behind the stage so we could look at how happy people were. Knowing how hard people worked to make that a reality was really exciting. And her least favorite or most disappointing moment? Sturgill paused and said, "I don't know. I don't ever really focus on stuff like that." The Queen Pageant. The Illinois Festival Queen Pageant was held on the last day of the celebration in the Decatur Civic Center. Six Queen contestants, along with 9 Junior Miss participants, 3 preteen candidates, and 8 princesses, took to the stage Sunday afternoon. The Queen, Junior Miss, and preteen contestants were judged on attire, presentation, and interviews. The princesses modeled sundresses and answered questions from their submitted biography questions. At the end of the afternoon, Gracie Cook, 21, was crowned 2016 Illinois Festival Queen. She will be joined during her year-long reign with Junior Miss winner, 15-year-old Morgan Holland. Both recipients will represent Central Illinois at various events throughout the state, including fairs, parades, fundraising events, and next year's celebration. The preteen category, representing girls ages 10 through 13, was new to this year's competition. Izzy Cutler was crowned as the 2016 recipient. Girls ages 5 to 9 are allowed to compete in the contest, giving them experience in a pageant. All princesses received a crown and trophy. Awards were given for best smile and best personality. Pageant director Melissa Muirhead has moved the contest to various locations and under different names throughout the past 4 years. Although the pageant has been through various changes, Muirhead has kept many important factors. As a conservative pageant, the judges focus on the candidates' interviews as well as their attire. Since the Queen will be representing the pageant and Illinois, the candidates practice with Muirhead during 10 sessions before the pageant. They have to learn how to speak to people with eye contact, shake hands, and introduce themselves with good posture, Muirhead said. The conservative reputation of the pageant is what drew many of the contestants. Morgan Miller, 17, of Sullivan, registered for the contest because she said she knew it had a different character. This is a pageant that focuses more on personality and public speaking as opposed to just looks, she said. And the vendor check. One of the little-known tasks during the Decatur celebration setup is vendor price check. Vendors are required to have their prices on display, and those prices cannot change during the event without a rare, special dispensation from celebration. So vendors cannot indiscriminately change prices, dropping them if sales are slow or raising when sales are better than expected. In special cases, celebration will allow changes, but it must okay them. Prices are checked by celebration staff daily. And about Dell's popcorn. The last stop on Merchant Street was an old favorite missed by many in the community. Dell's popcorn had a temporary opening during celebration. Although it was tucked away in a corner beside the celebration's wine garden, it still had a steady flow of customers. Throughout the weekend, Dell's offered candy, popcorn balls, prepackaged popcorn flavors such as caramel, cheese, butter, and salt. Dell's also offered sodas and snow cones. The products are being made at the company warehouse. Dell's hopes to reopen its downtown location, which has severely been damaged by fire. But this is a chance for a sneak peek, employee Gabby Schaefer said. And about the retro camper photo booth? Parked along the north side of Central Park was a 1950s-era Little Chief camper. Unlike other trailers parked at the celebration, this one invited customers to take a look inside. Husband and wife team, Jamie and Darren Clubs, refurbished the camper as a retro camper photo booth. For $5, visitors could decorate themselves, fill the 10-foot-long camper with loved ones, and have 4 pictures taken to commemorate the weekend. Friends and family found the novelty business a popular way to keep their memories of the celebration. "We have a lot of props they can choose from," Darren said. "Some dress up, some don't." And we love Michael. The Michael Jackson tribute artist, King Michael, performed the King of Pop's classic moves and sounds, complete with the signature hip pops and long whoo. Saturday night's show was different than most stage shows acted at the celebration. No band accompanied the singer and 4 dancers. Instead, they performed to pre-recorded music. This benefited the audience, who often sang along with the impersonator. In between songs, past recorded audio could be heard with sound bites from The Ed Sullivan Show and Dick Clark's American Bandstand. As the actor was performing as a much-loved entertainer, he had the crowd singing and dancing along with him. In fact, he seemed to expect it and revel in the response. The article is accompanied by a photograph of Gracie Cook, 21, who was crowned the 2016 Illinois Festival Queen. And from the local page, article by Justin Kahn, Herald and Review staff writer from Decatur. Crossing celebrating Healthcare Center Week. As Crossing Healthcare approached its first National Health Center Week in its new building at 320 East Central Avenue, it wanted to make a splash. The result is 5 days of fun beginning today, inside and outside the building. This year, we decided to make it bigger and better than we have in the past because we're bigger and better than we've been in the past, Crossing Executive Director Tanya Andrix said. So as people drive by, they're going to see all kinds of strange things outside. Each day, across the street from the building in the lot by the gardens, Crossing will highlight a different service offered. There will be a giveaway to patients each day as well. Today, children's health services are highlighted. Sally the Clown will paint faces and make balloon animals from 9 to 11 a.m. On Tuesday, women's health and prenatal services will be highlighted at an all-day booth. The Scoville Petting Zoo will visit from 9 to 11 a.m. Then, on Tuesday evening, Central Illinois Food Bank's mobile food pantry will be available free to anyone. Bring an empty box or laundry basket and fill it up with food. Our doctors and nurse practitioners took up a collection of $1,100, which is the price Central Illinois Food Bank charges to bring 13,000 pounds of fresh, healthy food, Andrick said. We'll have the truck here, and all of our staff are going to volunteer and hand it out to whoever comes with a basket. August is a hard month for a lot of people because they stretch their dollars to get kids back to school, so this seemed like a good time for it. Wednesday will feature adult health with free blood pressure checks and also Paw Print Ministries therapy dogs from 10 to 11 a.m. and low-impact chair exercises, or Zumba, from 2 to 3 p.m. Thursday's all-day booth will have information about nutritional services. Two registered dietitians will compete at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. with patients the judges of whose healthy snack is better. There will also be a Praise Moves demonstration from 10 to 11 a.m. and a Lose to Live exercise booth from 1 to 3 p.m. The week finishes on Friday by highlighting behavioral health services. Therapy horses will be on hand from 1 to 2 p.m., and Paw Print Ministries therapy dogs will be there from 2 to 3 p.m. Shauna Cole, Crossing Human Resources Director, said the goal of the activities and giveaways was to provide a fun way to get the word out about all of what Crossing offers. We wanted to come up with some ways to spotlight our services and encouraging our patients to become more aware of what we have to offer, Cole said. And also from the local page, Disc Jockey hopes to spread the word. From Decatur, Corey Bond has been a DJ for 25 years. He hopes the celebration's DJ Showcase, which debuted this year, will help bring DJ culture to the younger generation. It's a growing phenomenon, and I want to help spread it in Decatur, said Bond, who organized the event and was one of seven DJs who performed at the backlot stage. We had DJs from not only Decatur, but from all over the Midwest, Bond said, and we were able to expose Decatur to several different types, like mashup, hip-hop, house, and turntablist. It was a great chance to give some DJs a platform to show off their skills and style. Bond said he hoped the showcase would return next year. This year's showcase wasn't a contest, but Bond said that idea is swimming in his mind for the future. There's a difference. Sitting behind dozens of bottles of Jazzbo's salsa, James Bippen explained the difference between Mexican and American salsa. In Mexico, they make it with lime, not sugar and vinegar, Bippen said. He said Jazzbo's is an Acapulcan recipe. There were a variety of flavors, with Bippen recommending the tequila salsa, with Jose Cuervo cooked in the verde. Bippen, who was set up in the arts and crafts section on Prairie Street, said he mostly sold around the St. Louis area. And just for clarification, these are obviously more snippets from the Decatur celebration. Commodore Decatur, Kurt Jackson approached retired Celebration producer Fred Puglia nearly a decade ago and told him the event needed the presence of Commodore Stephen Decatur and Abraham Lincoln. Puglia told Jackson that Lincolns were easy to find, but he couldn't find a Stephen Decatur. It wasn't easy. 1812 naval uniforms can't be purchased just anywhere. But Jackson hired a local seamstress and made a uniform that he wears to the celebration every year. He said he plans to have an actual admiral's jacket next year. "I have a lot of fun with it," Jackson said. Jackson said the sword is the best part of the uniform, as he drew an identical replica of a naval sword from 1812 out of its scabbard. "The kids love this," Jackson said. "They always ask, is it real?" And then Philippine style. Skipper's Island Oasis, a new food truck at the celebration this year, included lobster on a skewer among its variety of meat on a stick. The meat was all prepared in a Philippine style. The truck is owned by Lynn and Jason Richardson. Jason was in the Army stationed in the Philippines when he met Lynn. Along with niece Nicole Wario and some other family, they've just recently struck out in the food truck business. "My uncle loves to cook Filipino food. He's white, but he wants to bring it to other white people and anyone else he can," Wario said, laughing. Then, register to vote. Celebration may be a lot of fun, but it has a serious side, too. The Macon County Young Democrats offered members of the community an opportunity to register to vote. According to Colin Golson, president of the Macon County Young Democrats, the offer is open to any political party. "It's about being involved in the community and an active member of society," he said. "We're not trying to steer anybody or say anything negative." Golson has seen many young people who want to get involved but don't know how. He set up the celebration tent as an open door access to ask questions. "We need to stand up and be a rising force," he said. "Once the old timers are gone, you're next." Through Saturday evening, 24 people had registered to vote. And from the local briefs on the local page, Frontiers Scholarships, Decatur. The Decatur Frontiers Service Club is accepting applications for the Decatur Frontiers Scholarship for all community students and the Burl L. Stoner Al Dobbins Decatur Frontiers for Richland Community College students. Applications can be picked up at Richland or by calling Danny Cook at 217-330-3166 or Burl Stoner at 217-429-0333 or Diane Spanius, 217-330-7851. Awards and scholarships will be presented at the luncheon on Saturday, September 17th in the Decatur Club. For tickets, contact Burl Stanley at 217-521-8813, Terry Stoner at 217-433-7852, or Sean Comage at 217-201-8899. Tickets for the lunch are $18 per person. Mount Zion Mud Volley Tourney. Teams are needed for the Mount Zion Odd Fellows Mud Volleyball Tournament at 9 a.m. Saturday, August 20th during Mount Zion Pony Express Days. Teams must have at least 6 players. The cost is $15 per player and includes a t-shirt if registered before Wednesday, August 10th. The registration deadline is August 16th. Proceeds will benefit Kirsten Clark, a Mount Zion resident who is battling colorectal and thyroid cancers. For more information, call Carrie Toothman at 217-972-8477. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay tuned.